Good evening and welcome to Midwest Beat. Thank you for supporting Public Radio. I'm Tom Lounges. Tonight, we've got a variety of different guests joining me by phone as we remember one of the architects of rock and roll, one of the first true guitar gods of rock and roll, Mr. Chuck Berry, who could play that guitar like a ring and a bell. Well, we're going to hear some great Chuck Berry songs. We're going to hear from some of the musicians that he has influenced over the years. And we're going to talk about what made this man so great. Well, Chuck Berry left his fingerprints all over popular music and pop culture. And tonight, we remember the late, great Chuck Berry.
Hail, hail, rock and roll. Deliver me from the days of old. The drums loud and bold. Rock, rock, rock and roll. Feeling is there, body and soul.
Good evening and welcome to Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. Thank you for supporting Public Radio. We do appreciate you being on the other end of the dial and streaming us at our new website, lakeshorepublicradio.org, where you can catch this show and all of our broadcasts live in real time. Well, tonight we are paying tribute to one of the fallen architects of rock and roll, the man who helped pioneer the sound, Chuck Berry, a man out of St. Louis, who gave us that, that famous guitar riff that replaced saxophones as a lead instrument. He could play the guitar like a ring in a bell. And we've got some great guests joining us tonight. Jim Peterick from Survivor and Ides of March fame. We've got Devin Allman, a guest who was here last week with us, the son of Greg. We have Roger Earle of Foghat. Yeah, he's a drummer, but he's got a Chuck Berry story and a connection as well. And coming up in just a few minutes, Chicago's own Carl Giamarisi, guitarist and vocalist of the Buckinghams. But first, let's do what Chuck was all about, rock and roll music.
Just let me hear some of that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it. It's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me. If you wanna dance with me. I have no kick against modern jazz. Unless they try to play it too darn fast. And change the beauty of the melody. Until it sounds just like a symphony. That's why I go for that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it. It's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me. If you wanna dance with me. I took my loved one over across the tracks. So she could hear my man a wailing sax. I must admit they have a rockin' band. Man, they were blowing like a hurricane. That's why I go for that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it. It's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me. If you wanna dance with me. Way down south they gave a tune. Don't you folks, they had a jamboree. They're drinking home from a wooden cup. The folks dancing got all shook up. And started playing that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it. It's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me. If you wanna dance with me. Don't care to hear them play a tango. I'm in the mood to dig a mambo. It's way too early for the Congo. So keep on rocking that piano. So I can hear some of that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it. It's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance. If you wanna dance with me.
Gotta love that rock and roll music, and that's what he was all about. The late, great Chuck Berry. We're remembering him tonight here on Midwest Beat. We've got some friends in rock and roll that are joining us. Chuck Berry, the singer, songwriter, guitarist, was one of the architects of rock and roll. He died Saturday, March 18th at the age of 90. And wow, the legacy that he has left behind, Dan, the fingerprints on pop culture.
Yeah, one of the great guitar players, and I remember when they played that on Back to the Future, coolest thing ever.
Even Michael J. Fox, a white boy, could rock out.
Right, exactly.
You know, I've gone on many times. I get called up to sing with some of my friends that are in bands, and Johnny B. is my go-to. I do a little bit of Elvis here and there, but Johnny B. is the song that everybody always seems to throw at me. So I have special thoughts of that song. We'll get to that a little later this evening. Speaking of rock and rollers, and a guy that's been around a long time, my old friend Carl Giamorisi is the guitar player, lead singer of the Buckinghams, Chicago's very own, still performing multiple shows a year and busting out all that great rock and roll. Carl, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, I appreciate you taking time to be with us. I know that you are a dyed-in-the-wool rock and roller. We've had many conversations over the years, and I know you're passionate about the music that you play with the Buckinghams. And Chuck Berry has, like I said, fingerprints on everybody's art, everybody's soul. I don't know if we'd even be talking today if it weren't for people like Chuck Berry and Fats Domino and, you know, Little Richard.
Well, I think before I wanted to be a Beatle, I wanted to be Chuck Berry, you know? Because I got to tell you, his guitar playing was so innovative and so original and such an inspiration to all of it. You know, I can't even, you know, I'm sure that everybody's been, you know, well, I know everybody's been talking about him since his death, and everybody's got the stories that are probably very similar in a lot of ways. But, you know, what are you going to do? He was so influential to all of us. And I still remember, I mean, it was, you know, my first band, Centuries, you know, part of the staple of our show, our set, was doing Chuck Berry songs. And I still remember sitting at my cousin's house. He was the leader of the band, the Centuries, and trying to learn, you were talking about Johnny B. Goode, trying to learn that riff at the beginning of the song, and, you know, wanting to do it exactly like he did it, but of course that wasn't possible.
Right.
Especially then, you know, I mean, I was just basically starting out, and maybe I got some of the licks okay, sort of, you know, but he had a certain sound and a certain technique, and one of the first, well, probably the first guy to play it that way, you know.
He kind of blended, as did Elvis, but blended the R&B and the country kind of sound. And if I'm not mistaken, he did that by bending two strings at once, which at that point, everyone was just playing single strings. And he was kind of manipulating the strings to get that sound. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. He did, you know, of course, you know, like Johnny B. Goode, when it starts, it's the root on top and the fifth on the bottom, the first two strings.
Okay.
You know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, it's those are two. But then as it progresses, he starts bending two strings at a time. And then there's one riff he always did that was just knocked me out. He was the first to do that, and I've done it many times. It's like you're playing the same note on two different strings where you're going da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, it's back and forth, and you're and it just has this effect that's just incredible, you know. And I mean, God, you know, we had to learn all his songs. And I used to flip the other side over on his records on some of them, and they were unknown songs. And I'm the worst at song titles, but I'm trying to remember the flip side of Johnny B. Goode. It was an instrumental, I can't remember what it was called. It was so mesmerizing and different. And, I was incapable of playing it at the time, you know. But and I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to do some shows with him.
Okay,
years,
share a little bit about that. And it's interesting because 2007, I think it was, we brought him to the Porter County Fairgrounds with Otis Day and the Knights. Otis Day and the Knights went up, did their set, and then the band stayed, and they wound up back in Chuck. And I was the MC, and I had always heard about Chuck being a bit of a conundrum, if you will, a little difficult. And I had also heard that he did not like MCs and DJs very much.
Not good for you, Tom.
Not good for me. I was up on stage in front of the crowd, and I'm doing this bit, you know, and hey, we're going to see a certifiable legend tonight and blah, 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 blah. Well, Chuck hadn't been there yet. Well, I guess he pulled in his Cadillac behind the stage, got his guitar out of the trunk, as was tradition, and was walking up the stairs. Well, I could tell the change in temperament from the crowd that something was happening. And I turn around, there's Chuck walking on stage with his guitar, his Gibson in hand. And I thought, oh, my God, he's going to slug me or something, you know, because he had this serious look on his face. And he walked up to me, shook my hand and says, very nice words, young man. Now get the hell off my stage. And I said, yes, sir, Mr. Barry. He'd have thought I was on fire getting off that stage. It was an honor to be able to just be on the stage and introduce him, but to actually shake his hand and have him, you know, backhanded compliment like that was wonderful. I'll take that to my grave as a happy moment in my career. So what was it like for you?
Well, the last show I could remember doing with him, really, it's been a while. It was about 7 years ago, and it was in Dallas, Texas. It was an outdoor show event, and there were a lot of acts on that show, and he closed it. He closed the show, and the second act, you know, right before he came on was Little Richard. And he and Little Richard didn't get along too good. You know, I mean, it was like there was a certain thing going on there. I think they were very competitive, you know. It's, you know, maybe because they came out of that same time era and they both wanted to be king of rock and roll at the time, you know, whatever was going on. But you know, you sense that there was this negative vibe going on. And you know, Chuck Berry, he was famous for, you know, he wanted a specific kind of amplifier to play through. It had to be a Fender, a certain model, Fender Twin, I believe it was. And if you didn't have that, you had to forfeit. There would be a penalty that you'd have to pay him if you didn't have the amp he wanted. And there was a rumor that he used to buy up all these amps so that there were none around for anybody to find. He did that on purpose. So that's how he was making money.
Wow.
But he was very I've spoken to several musicians that he was always just using a pickup band.
Right.
And, you know, he always expected the band to know the material and play it right. And he was pretty rough on some of these guys that I talked to. You know, he was he had no empathy for whatever. You know, it's just, hey, you know, you're backing me up. You should be grateful that you're playing with me. But, you know, hey, he was he was a great Chuck Berry, and, you know, he could be demanding.
Well, I think because of the fact he had written so many classic hits that he just expected anyone that's playing rock and roll should automatically know them. They are the Bible in which rock and roll was built.
Yeah. I certainly know that if I was backing him up, I know most of his hits, you know, but, I mean, I would go over it and make sure I got every nuance and every lick, every feel exactly right, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would do my best. And I'm sure most guys that backed him up did the same thing, you know.
I saw him at the Congress Theater when he collapsed. It was on New Year's Eve, or New Year's Day, rather, a few years ago. He was giving his band that night a lot of grief, but obviously he wasn't feeling well. But he didn't make it through a single song that night. And I had seen him before during his prime, but I'd taken my son to see him because he's a big Chuck Berry fan and had never seen him. And I thought, before Chuck retires or passes away, I wanted him to see him. And, you know, he left that night, even though we never got through a single song, and says, you know what, just seeing him walk on stage. Dick Biondi introduced him. Chuck came out, and he played, and he didn't do well, and he kind of collapsed at the piano. They took him away. He said, don't go anywhere. He came back. He tried it again. He duck-walked a little bit. And I had to give him an A-plus for effort because he just did not want to disappoint the fans in any way. He kept trying to come back until he finally said, you're done, you know, and they turned the lights on. He had that professionalism that we just don't see anymore. So many of these artists today, I have the sniffles, I'm not going to perform tonight, refund the tickets, you know.
Yeah, right. So. Yeah, well, that's, you know, the show must go on. You do the best you can, you know, you know, I've been around long enough that, you know, there have been occasions when I wasn't feeling good, but you go on anyway, and it's amazing. You could be pretty sick, and the adrenaline of being on stage, all of a sudden you can, unless you're really out of it. But but you know, you can usually make it work and then collapse afterwards. You know?
Right, right.
But he just had a sound and a technique like nobody else back then. And everybody played his music, you know.
Yeah. Well, Bob Seger said it. Bob Seger said it. All Chuck's children are playing his licks.
All of Chuck's children are out there playing his licks.
That's true. And you're one of the children that are playing the licks, so.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, Carl.
Yeah, we learned a lot from his playing, you know. It's just, it's a big loss, you know. We've seen so many great artists that we've lost recently, you know, and of course he's one of the great, maybe the greatest. I don't know.
Right.
He gave us so much. He gave us rock and roll.
And he will never die as long as the music is still out there. And of course that will never change. Well, yeah. Carl, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
You're welcome. Come on out and see us play sometime.
Are the Bucks playing anytime soon again?
Well, the next thing we do is that Cornerstone show.
You know, okay.
Cornerstones of Rock. We got the Pottawatomie Casino on May 19th, and then the 20th is at the Genesee Theater in Waukegan.
And the Ides and the Shadows.
And the Ides, the Shadows, New Colony 6. Okay. Everybody that was on the PBS special, just about everybody will be part of that show. And I think that's about the fifth one we've done now. And we've got several coming up besides that. We'll be back at the Arcata doing it, I think, in November.
TheBuckinghams.com?
TheBuckinghams.com. Or visit us on the Facebook, our Facebook page. Our events page on Facebook always has an up-to-date schedule, you know.
Okay.
We're still going. We've got a lot of things coming up this summer.
Well, yeah. Carl, again, thank you so much for joining us. Coming up in just a few minutes, we've got Roger Earl from Foghat's going to be with us.
Cool.
Jim Peterick, your good buddy from the Cornerstone Show, will be here.
Give him a smack for me.
I will.
And through the phone.
Devin Allman is also, Greg's son, is going to be joining us for a few minutes toward the end.
Oh, great.
So we are going to move on, and we thank you again. Keep rocking and rolling, my friend.
Thanks for having me on, and you take care of yourself. Look forward to seeing you soon.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
Carl Giamarisi of the Buckinghams, a guy that truly knows rock and roll.
As I got on a city bus and found a vacant seat, I thought I saw my future bride walking up the street. I shouted to the driver, "Hey, conductor, you must slow down. I think I see her. Please let me off the bus."
Nadine, when it Can't You Be True? I'm Tom Lounge as you're listening to Midwest Beat as we remember the impact of the late, great Chuck Berry. As that famous riff indicates, joining us now on the phone, my good friend Jim Peterick, a former member of Survivor that was the co-writer on Eye of the Tiger, and of course, a founding member of the great 60s band, the Ides of March, famous for Vehicle and so many other hits, and still doing time with Ides of March as well as other projects. Grammy Award-winning songwriter Jim Peterick joining us to remember Chuck Berry. Jim, let's start with the obvious. What were your thoughts when you heard that Chuck had passed?
Well, I mean, I was, you know, it's hard to be shocked when a fellow like him turns 90. It's not as much shock as sadness. You know, it had to come. It was inevitable. But, I mean, for a guy that's literally shaped rock and roll, it was really a major, major event in my life that he passed. And no longer would he be around. You know, his music will be around forever. And that's the good news. But Chuck is gone. And there'll be no more shows. There'll be no more new songs. But, I mean, like, he left such a legacy. I mean, he was one of my heroes. I wrote a little eulogy on my Facebook, and I said, there would be no Rolling Stones, there would be no Beatles as we know them without Chuck Berry. Because they both just were so influenced by Chuck Berry. And in fact, covered a lot of Chuck Berry songs, like the Rolling Stones with, you know, Round and Round, and the Beatles' Rock and Roll Music Roll Over Beethoven. But I don't think there would be the Beatles and Stones as we know them without Chuck Berry. He was like the prototype to me for rock and roll. Mm-hmm. There's a guy, a black man, playing rock and roll. The distortion in the amp, he was way ahead of his time, you know, with an amp that had a cracked speaker and it was distorting. And a lot of engineers said, oh man, Chuck, you got to like clean that up. He goes, no man, I know what I'm doing here. It was that grungy, dirty sound that was so brilliant. And I think, you know, as far as I was concerned, you know, whenever a Chuck Berry song came on the radio, I was like 5 years old when I first heard, or six maybe, you know, Sweet Little 16. And I just about fell off my tricycle, you know. it was truly life-changing, you know. And I started, even at that early age, getting into the lyrics, you know, of the songs, you know. Oh, mommy, mommy, please may I go? It's such a sight to see somebody stealing the show. You know, every line in his songs, there was no filler. There was no wasted words or, oh, let's just put a line in here and say anything. I mean, he would even make his own verbs up. While I was motivating over the hill, I saw Maybelline in a Coupe de Ville. Nobody motivates, you know, but you totally accepted it. He created his own language. And I think the most overlooked thing about Chuck was he really was a poet. He, you know, Sweet Little 16, Johnny Be Good, you know, deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, not way down, and deep down in Louisiana. These are little words that are just like chosen so well. And what's ironic, he would never talk about it. You know, a lot of interviewers would try to say, Chuck, you know, what's the magic behind your lyrics, it's like poetry. He said, I don't want to talk about poetry. You know, I'm a guitar slinger, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not like he was modest. It's just that just came naturally. You know, that wasn't something he talked about. That just was part of who he was. And then, it's funny, you said something, Tom. You said, following in his footsteps. I think I followed in his duck walk, you know. I tried to do that duck walk for years with the Ides. I could never quite master it. But now I've got to learn how to duck walk.
I remember seeing him New Year's Eve at the Congress a few years back when he had collapsed and had been taken to the hospital. I took my son Dylan to see him. And Chuck, even in his 80s, was still duck walking. Not quite as fluid as he used to, but still in his 80s was duck walking. And I thought that was pretty unique. One of the things... Jim, is that back in the 50s, of course, guitar was not the lead instrument back in the early days. It was saxophone. Do you think Chuck Berry is the one that changed that?
I do. I do. And in fact, the guitar kind of became a saxophone. And like we were talking about distortion, you can't play a clean guitar to make it sound like a sax, but you can sure dirty a guitar up to sound like a sax, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think he, in a way, he was emulating the saxophone. It looks like a replacement. But, you know, those double note leads were, I don't think I've heard them prior to Chuck Berry, where he would play a third and a fifth together. And he pioneered that whole with the double strings. And I remember Clapton doing an interview and saying, man, he pioneered that. So the single note sounds so wimpy compared to what Chuck did, you know, mm-hmm. and I have to agree. And, you know, the whole ES-335, or actually Chuck played a Gibson ES-355, usually a red one, although he's gone through a lot of guitars in his career. I never saw him without a Gibson in his hands. You know, there was a 350 for a while, a blonde one with the rounded cutaway. But most of the years it was this red 355, all different vintages. He didn't really care. You know, he wasn't a guitar collector. He was a player, you know. And another thing I thought was very unusual about his career, and it's not something that I would do, but it didn't seem to hurt him, is that he was a skinflint. He was a penny pincher, cheapest man in rock and roll from all accounts.
I've heard the same.
And when he would come to a town, he wouldn't bring a band. He would hire the high school band or the college band, or whoever the kids were in town that had a little band together. They wouldn't rehearse. They would go on stage. He said, everybody knows these songs. We don't have to rehearse, you know. So he'd be throwing out, you know, Maybelline or Chuck Berry or any of the songs. And the band would be like just playing along for their life. They didn't even know what key they were going to be in it before they started. So, and that was all about saving money. He didn't want to go around with all the expenses and per diems and stuff. He just wanted to play and make money. He always demanded cash on the barrel head before he even stepped on stage from the promoter. It's pretty unique.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about the influence on the Beatles and the Stones, and you have a unique position because you've worked with Brian Wilson, and a lot of the Beach Boys sound has a lot of Chuck Berry. And I know Brian Wilson said that he was very influential on the Beach Boys sound. Comment a little bit on that.
You're right, and I should have mentioned that because early Beach Boys especially really paid an homage to Chuck Berry, so much so that Surfin' USA, they got sued by Chuck Berry. This is basically Sweet Little 16 with different lyrics.
If everybody had an ocean across the USA, then everybody'd be surfing like California. You'd see them wearing their baggies, Huarache sandals too, a bushy, bushy blonde hairdo, surfing USA.
As soon as I heard Surfin' USA, even at age 10, I go, that's Sweet Little 16. Mm-hmm. What are they trying to get away with? Well, Chuck and his publisher noticed it and sued him. And now guess whose name appears underneath Surfin' USA? Only Chuck Berry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, pretty unusual. Check it out sometime. But, you know, you hear songs like Fun, 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 which is not a ripoff, but it certainly echoes Chuck's style with that riff that starts it out. Fun, Fun, Fun is a great example of modernizing and changing Chuck Berry's sound and making it fit into the Beach Boys' frame of mind. A little bit later in their career, they remade rock and roll music and a totally different take on it with a synth bass, and it still worked. A great song, you know, I always say this, Tom, is a great song.
Right. That said, what is your favorite Chuck Berry song from a writer's perspective?
You know, I said it before, I think it's Sweet Little 16. You know, it's very visual. All his songs, one thing about his songs, you can picture it. You know, Johnny B. Goode, you can picture him playing his heart off on stage. Sweet Little 16, you imagine this Sweet Little 16 just got to have famed autographs and all these records. You just could see this girl, you know. Tight pants and lipstick. She's sporting high heel shoes. Sporting high heel shoes. I mean, I'm telling you, verbs like that just don't come up in pop music. I think overall it's Sweet Little 16. But I mean, Roll Over Beethoven. What a unique title. Roll Over Beethoven, Speak to Me, Rhythm and Blues. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Were you surprised to find out, I know I was, that My Ding-a-Ling is the only time he went to number one? All these brilliant songs, and My Ding-a-Ling is the one that's his number one?
I did not know that. Not my favorite song either.
Right.
I think that one got off on novelty value and a little bit of lewdness.
He was kind of a dirty guy.
Well, I think it's a beautiful little song, really I do. And guess what? Everybody's still not singing. There's a few right down front here that's not singing. We're going to dedicate this verse to those who will not sing. Yes, sir. This here song, it ain't so sad. The cutest little song you ever had. Those of you who will not sing, you must be playing with your own ding-a-ling.
Ding-a-ling! Ding-a-ling!
Oh my God. Karen says, you know, he was really great, wasn't he? I said, yeah, he really was. But he also was in jail for 3 years for transporting underage females across state lines, you know?
Right.
So he was a mixed bag. And I think that's what makes Chuck Berry. It's a little bit of the outlaw and a lot of the great musician.
Did you ever get a chance to see him in concert?
No, you know, I did not. For some reason, it always escaped me. And I wish I had. The closest I came was Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll, the great documentary that Keith Richards was involved in. But I lived him through his records, really. You know, another thing, he had a lot of great instrumentals buried on his albums that a lot of people don't even know he did instrumentals. I'm sure he thought of them as album fillers, but they were brilliant too.
He was ahead of the curve on the pop island sound, too. Before we embraced Bob Marley and I Shot the Sheriff with Eric Clapton, he had Havana Moon that had come out in, 56, and that was a crossover to the white audience and brought a new sound to pop music.
Yeah, you're right. You know, he would bring in Calypso and Islands to a lot of his stuff. You know, there was a lot of cross-pollination there. That also made him brilliant.
So, all right. Well, Jim, thank you so much for sharing that. And we're going to play Maybelline in your honor tonight as we remember Chuck Berry.
Well, you keep motivating, Tom, okay?
All right. Thank you, Jim.
Okay. Love you, man.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started doing the things you used to do. I was motivating over the hill. I saw Maybelline in a coupe bill. A Cadillac rolling on an open road. Nothing out of run my V8 Ford. A Cadillac doing about 95. We bumper to bumper rolling side to side. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the thing you used to do. Cadillac pulled up to 104. My phone got hot and wouldn't do no more. The gun got cloud and started to rain. I tooted my horn for the passing lane. My rainwater blowing all under my hood. I knew that I was doing my motor good. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the thing you used to do. Can't you be true?
You done started back doing the thing you used to do. Motor cooled down, the heat went down, and that's when I heard that highway sound. Cadillac setting like a ton of lead, 110 a half a mile ahead. Cadillac looking like it's setting still, and I caught Maybelline at the top of the hill. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the thing you used to do.
Up next is a special guest who was influenced by Chuck Berry, not on guitar, but on drums. Had there not been a Chuck Berry, there probably wouldn't have been a Foghats, according to Roger Earl, founder and drummer of the group. Roger's joining us now from Florida to remember the impact Chuck Berry had on not only him, but on his band and the world. Roger, good to talk to you again, my friend.
Good evening. Tom, how you doing?
Doing great, Rog. Thanks for being part of tonight's program. I know that even as a teenager back in England, you were a big fan of all the early American R&B and blues acts, so I figured you might have a Chuck Berry memory or story to share.
I have lots of stuff to talk about Chuck Berry. I learned to play drums listening to Chuck Berry. I started with Muddy Waters. Francis Clay was an incredible drummer on Muddy Waters Live 1960-61. But then I discovered Chuck, and I learned to play playing to Chuck Berry records. His main drummer at the time at Chess was a guy called Freddie Below, who later on in life I met. Quick story. Lonesome Dave and I were playing in Chicago, and we had a day off, so Dave said, yeah, Rog, you want to go down to some blues clubs? We went to a club called Mother Blues. I don't know if it's still there, probably not. Mm. And I walked in the door, you know, paid out $3 or whatever it was, and I went to the bar to get a drink. I had a cognac, and Dave had a white wine. And I turned around, Dave's not there. He's still standing in the doorway, transfixed to the stage. So I'll bring his glass of white wine back to him. I say, here you go, Dave. He says to me, hey, Rog, do you know who that is playing drums? And there was a blues band on stage. I said, no. He said, that's Freddie Below. Now, I knew who he was. Didn't know what he looked like.
Mm-hmm.
So they take a break, and Dave and I go up and introduce ourselves and shake his hand. Like, we're kind of in awe of him. And he's looking at us, and he goes, so you want to get up and play? And I said, yeah. So he goes off to the bar, and we did the next couple of sets.
Wow.
But yeah, he was very nice and real cool. But you know, he saw a couple of English coming in, and he said he was taking a break, so we didn't get paid. He still got paid,
right?
Willie Dixon, you know, who was the producer of just about everything Chuck did, and we met him as well. And you know, basically, there would be no rock and roll if it wasn't for Chuck Berry. He influenced so many people, but I thought it would be interesting to get a drummer's perspective. Drummers like Freddie Below, they were basically scored in like jazz, so there was always a swing the way the drummers played. It wasn't like, you know, straight 4-4. It always had that swing to it, and that's what I took from it, and I incorporate it in everything I think, do, and play. Doesn't always work,
mm-hmm.
but we give it our best. Chuck Berry influenced just about everybody. There'd be no Rolling Stones, certainly be no Foghat, and probably just about every other, you know, real rock and roll band in the world. We wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for Chuck. Thank you, Chuck.
What's your favorite Chuck Berry song, if you had to pick one?
There's a whole bunch of them. I remember particularly Sweet Little 16. I bought the single, and I just played it over and over again. The song had that swing to it, and it was, you know, if you can't play a decent shuffle, you might as well go home. You're not ever going to play in any decent band.
They're really rocking in Boston and Pittsburgh, PA, deep in the heart of Texas and round the Frisco Bay. Sweet Little 16.
sweet little 16. She just got to have about a half a million, a famed autograph. Her wallet filled with pictures, she gets them one by one. Become so excited, watch her look at her run, boy. Got the grown-up blues, tight dresses and lipstick. She's sporting high-heeled shoes. Oh, but tomorrow morning she'll have to change her train and be sweet 16 and back in class again. But they'll be rocking in Boston, Pittsburgh, PA, deep in the heart of Texas, and round the Frisco Bay.
Paying tribute to Chuck Berry, the late great guitar slinger who helped pioneer rock and roll as we know it. On the phone with me right now, Roger Earle, drummer and founder of Foghat. Roger, did you ever get a chance to meet Chuck Berry, or did you guys ever play a gig with him?
And actually, I came very close to meeting Chuck once. That 1974, we were doing a big outdoor festival in Southern California. Jay Giles was on the bill, and Chuck Berry. So Dave and I were talking to our manager, Tony Otita, and said, look, do you think you could, like, get us a picture with Chuck Berry? So Chuck's on stage with one of the local bands that he played with, and then he comes off stage with his guitar case in his hand, and our manager goes up to Chuck and says, excuse me, Mr. Berry, would it be okay if a couple of guys in Foghat take a picture with you? And he said, sure, anytime. And kept walking, and the picture that we got was our manager, Tony Otita, holding on to Chuck's hand. And Chuck got in his Cadillac convertible with a beautiful blonde woman inside, and off he went.
That was Chuck.
That was Chuck, and good for him. You know what? I know he had some hard times in life, as did a lot of people. But he was vindicated in just about every way, because even though, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, I mean, it was just a horror show out there, the way the police would treat any sort of black musician. But Chuck beat it in the end. I mean, I know he suffered and he went to jail and people stole stuff from him. But in the end, everybody knew who Chuck Berry was. He was a living legend. And along with the Stones, Eric Clapton, Jeff Beck, anybody and everybody who picked up a guitar, or even a drum kit for that matter, knew who Chuck Berry was. And without Chuck, I wouldn't be who I was.
And obviously he had a big influence on Lonesome Dave as well. You can hear it in some of his playing.
Oh, yeah, no. Dave was a Chuck Berry fanatic. I mean, that's how he learned to play, listening to Chuck Berry records.
there's a little bit of Chuck in 8 Days on the Road, I think.
No kidding. and Chateau Lafitte Boogie, Dave used to do a solo with just me playing guitar, and it was Chuck Berry on speed.
And of course, you guys famously did Run, Run, Rudolph for the holidays. And
Maybelline was on our first album.
That's right. Right. Well, I appreciate your time, Roger, so much.
Thank you, Tom. Good talking to you.
Thank you, Roger. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's slip into another classic Chuck Berry song right now. This is a personal favorite of mine. It's one I used to get up and sing back in the Old Point East days of my career with a band called One Arm Bandit. Hoppy Niles and the boys, they'd always call me up to sing on Little Queenie.
I got lumps in my throat when I saw her coming down the aisle. I got the wiggles in my knees when she looked at me and sweet and smiled. There she is again, standing over by the record machine, looking like a model on the cover of a magazine. She's too cute to be a minute over 17. Meanwhile, I was thinking, in the mood, no needin' break it. I got a chance, I oughta take it. If she'll dance, we can make it. Come on, Queenie, let's shake it. Go, 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 little Queenie. Go, 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 little Queenie. Go, 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 little Queenie. Slow song, we'll omit it. If it's a rocker, that'll get it. And if it's good, she'll admit it. Come on, Queenie, let's get with it. Go!
Listening to Midwest Beats, I'm Tom Lounges, and tonight we are paying tribute to the late, great Chuck Berry, pioneer of rock and roll and architect of the rock and roll sound. And about a week ago, I had Devin Allman on the program, and we talked a little bit about him living in St. Louis, and I thought we'd give him a quick shout back to see, as a St. Louis resident, which of course was Chuck Berry's hometown, what he might be able to add to tonight's program. Devin, are you with us?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Doing fine, Devin. Thank you. And thank you again for joining us for just a few minutes here to give your comments on Chuck Berry. Of course, you live in St. Louis, which is Chuck's hometown. What might you be able to add to our show tonight about remembering Chuck?
Oh, man. I mean, you know, I know how much he meant to Keith Richards because you can hear it in the riffs. I mean, it's kind of, you know, something to really consider that we wouldn't have Brown Sugar and Sympathy for the Devil and, like, you know, so many Stones classics or even a Rolling Stones at all without Chuck Berry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chuck was the architect. He laid out the blueprints for everybody, you know, and it hit, you know, in multiple generations. So I had the pleasure of opening for Chuck years ago here in St. Louis, and it was awesome, you know. And I had heard, you know, he was in his 80s. I had heard that some nights were better than others with him.
Mm-hmm.
The night I saw him, he was just on. And it made a big impact. So, yeah, I mean, okay. I think that Chuck Berry was, you know, everybody kind of gives that credit to Elvis. I disagree. I think Chuck wrote the blueprint for what we're all doing.
Kind of like Bob Seger says, all Chuck's children are playing his licks. So
it's
going to continue on. You're
and
living...
Johnny Johnson, too, you know.
Right, right, exactly. Well, Devin, thank you. And speaking of Johnny Johnson, let's play the song that Chuck wrote about him, Johnny Be Good, a favorite of mine and, well, probably one of the best-known Chuck Berry songs ever. Good song.
Man. Classic, Tom. I love that.
How can you not love Chuck Berry? I mean, the man gave us so many amazing hits. And like I said, when I met him, I was so intimidated by him. I thought, really, he was going to pop me. Because, I mean, he just had the look on his face. And I'd heard the horror stories that he's just not a pleasant man.
But sure.
You know what? I guess at a certain point, who cares?
Right?
You know, the songs are here and they make us happy and... You know, hopefully they will continue to do so. So many hits. School Day, you know, Too Much Monkey Business, Roll Over Beethoven, Carol, Run Rudolph Run, Memphis, Tennessee.
And he lived a long life and was playing up until the time he passed away.
Yeah.
90 years is not bad.
Not a bad run.
For a musician who they're known to not live the best lifestyle.
Right.
You know,
so. Well, I want to thank our guests. I want to thank Carl Giamarisi of the Buckinghams. I want to thank Jim Peterick of Ides of March and so many other groups. Roger Earle of Foghat, he's actually in Florida. He was working on his house in the studio.
Cool.
And he took some time to be with us today. And, of course,
very
Devin
nice,
Allman, son of Greg. And he was our guest last week, so we just called him for a quick recap on Chuck. So many wonderful guests, so many people. That's just the tip of the iceberg of people that were influenced by him. And God rest Chuck Berry.
Hail, hail, rock and roll. Deliver me from the days of old. The drums loud and bold.